Welcome to Managing Safety, brought to you by the Florida Aviation Network, an effort of the National Aviation Safety Foundation and a coalition of local, regional, and national aviation organizations and agencies. This talk show addresses strategies for thinking in today's complex aviation world.
Hello, everyone. My name is Diego Alfonso, one of your hosts of the Florida Aviation Network, broadcasting live and in the clear from the Florida Air Museum at the Sonnenfund Complex in Lakeland, Florida, during the 40th annual Sonnenfund Fly-In and Exposition. Today, our guest is John Armstrong. He is with Diamond Aircraft Sales and Diamond Shares. And John, welcome to the program.
Thanks, Diego.
John, before we get into the thick of thing here with all the, I love airplanes, so I really want to get into the airplane thing. But before we do that, why don't you just give us a little bit of your background in aviation? Where did the dream come from? How you went from probably just being a little kid to where you are today, if you really would like to share that with our audience.
Sure, Diego.
Okay.
Thanks for having me today. I really appreciate the opportunity to speak with you. I had an interesting opportunity to get into aviation. My uncle was a P-51 fighter pilot and instructor in World War II. My other uncle was an aeronautical engineer. My dad was on a B-17 crew. Their era of growing up in the 40s was definitely all about aviation. It was the new thing in the world. Well, I grew up in a family that didn't have an airplane, but in order to keep me quiet in church, my dad would draw pictures of Jeeps, tanks, and airplanes. And so I knew there was something special about airplanes as a kid and that he liked them. He had had one briefly before I was born. So one day I got a call from my father. I was in college and I was the last of four kids. And he said, "You remember that farmer that had a J3 Cub in a barn along a grass strip on the way to the lake we used to go to?" And I said, "Yeah, I remember that." And he said, "I bought it." And instantly I said, "I'll be home, I'll go to summer school, I'll learn to fly." It was an instant decision because I had been thinking about it for many years from those pictures he had drawn. So we both had an interesting opportunity. At a college age, I reconnected with my dad. We learned to fly together in that plane. It was a J3 Cub, 1941.
Yep.
And I put lots of tailwheel time and grass flying on and then went back to school. And my dad flew that airplane for 30 plus years until he was 83 years old.
God bless him.
And then he gave it to me and he said, "You pass it down." So my son, who's 18, just turned 19, got his private certificate just recently. And so the family tradition has started and now continues.
Great. And how did you, actually, I'm gonna use the word gravitate to aircraft sales?
Well, back in the 80s when I came along out of college, the big thing was not aviation. In fact, if you remember how our industry developed, people came back from World War II, a lot of pilots. They immediately got busy and started building businesses and families. And then they came around and started buying airplanes. Cessna, Piper, and all the names we know today started building lots of airplanes, more and more and more. In fact, if you look at a chart, sales of aircraft went from a low level, the 40s, all the way to the peak level of like 17,600 and some, I think is the number roughly, in the 78, 79 time frame. Well, then it did what? You remember?
Yep.
Went off the cliff and our industry went to sleep for about 20 years. So here I was coming out right at the time it had fallen apart. They were no longer just new, and computers were actually what was of interest in the day. So I actually studied computer science and economics, went into business, started a firm, and developed that for about 15 years, all the while having my private's license and saying, "One of these days, I'm going to get back to doing something in aviation that will be a lot of fun and that'll, you know, enhance my life."
Sure.
So one day I decided to make that turn and put to work what I had learned those years before. Got up on a Monday morning one day and I said, "You know what, this is kind of crazy. I'd like to have an airplane. I have a pilot's license. I have a little bit of time and money. I'm going to just do it." So all those years of you know, not really doing it, I flew with my dad and things right. like that, but I didn't have a purpose. On a Monday morning, decided. The next day, I went and got my medical. The next day, I went and got my biannual flight review. And on Friday, I put a deposit and bought an airplane. And so I made a personal decision to get back into aviation at the personal level, and I liked it so much, and then I had the opportunity to sell my company. And when I did that, I was like, well, what are you going to do now? You're going to stay in what you're in, or are you going to do something different? And I said, I've always wanted to go more into aviation, so I just chose that direction. And I said, that's where I'm going, without a clue of how I was going to do it, but it was a decision.
On a wing and a prayer.
Yeah, well, I had an airplane, so I had the wing.
Yeah.
I had the prayer.
That's right.
And it was actually a fun story how it worked out. When I sold the company, I was a little tired from working 15 years really hard. Took a little break, and then I said, okay, it's time to get busy in the airplane business that I have no idea what I'm going to do. And I decided, well, I'll go and meet some people. People are how you get things, connected. And so I decided to go to a little event with my airplane. And I went out to the airport to get in it, and the fella called to me. He said, is that your airplane? I said, yeah. He said, you going to that event? I said, yeah. He said, my name's so-and-so, and I'm going to be an instructor at the event, and I'd like to fly with you. I've never flown an amphibious airplane, which is what the plane was. I said, all right, you're on. So we got over there, and we became fast friends. And he actually had been responsible at the time for running the Centennial Flight Celebrations for the state of North Carolina for the Wright Brothers Celebration for 100 years. And I said, you might need some help with that. And he said, I would. So the next thing you know, I found myself instantly as a contractor to that whole event to run marketing and promotions and work with all the sponsors and all that. So I went from not really being involved in the industry to now I was at the board level of a lot of the companies, meeting all the people involved, coming to all the events. And it was just perfect. So it was a great launch to get involved in the industry. And from there, I saw the interest in modern airplanes, the ones that have been built this century.
Right.
You know, I love the old airplanes. I still own that 1941 vintage Cub, and I go out on Sundays and I fly it. But what I had been waiting for all those years while I was growing up in the 70s and 80s and 90s was the combination of the high-tech composite materials with the computers that I knew a little something about. And I said, oh, it'll get here soon. Well, that soon was a very long time because of that industry that had taken a sleeping pill. You know, we had interest rates that were out of control. We had tort law that was a problem. Cessna shut down. And it wasn't until some very brave people decided to put treasure and effort together to put together companies that would focus on building the next century's airplanes. Diamond Aircraft was one of those. The gentleman by the name of Christian Dries, his family had developed an empire of automobile distribution in eastern part of Europe. And Mitsubishi came along and decided they would buy back all that network. And so that family had some funds. He was a passionate pilot, and this was in the late 80s. And he looked around and he said, look, these planes are already old at that time, really.
Right.
And they're not built anymore. So he said, what would be the material you would build a 21st century airplane out of? And if you remember, Burt Rutan was doing a little bit of little work with what we call composites today.
Yeah, he'll be here probably 2 days from now.
Exactly, but nobody was building any certified airplanes. Nobody was designing anything new. But he knew it was probably going to be out of composites. So he went and bought a little motor glider company. And that was the founding of Diamond Aircraft. They eventually changed the name to what it is today. But they chose the material first. And then they chose very efficient wings and glider-like thought processes. Those engineers were very in tune with making aircraft that flew extremely well. And so then came all the electronics. But that process has taken almost 20 years now. They've been around selling the aircraft that are on the stand here since the middle 90s. There's a lot more to that story, but that's almost 20-some years now in active selling and 25 years in existence.
Wow. And you got in with Diamond at what level?
Well, it was kind of an interesting story since I was an unproven entity to this industry when I showed up. I met a good man named Earl Boyder, and his group, Premier Aircraft Sales, was expanding. They had started up as a Diamond distributor out of Florida. And I was introduced to Earl, and he said, call Earl and see if they don't need some help. And I did. Talked to Earl for about 20 minutes on the phone, and he said, well, John, it sounds like you could sell airplanes. And I said, well, if you say so. I mean, I've done other things. But he said, but the problem is we don't really have any territory to work with. We've kind of filled it all up. And I said, okay, well, easy come, easy go. Nice to meet you. And he said, well, don't go away. And I said, well, what do you have in mind? He said, well, why don't you come help us at an event next month? I said, okay. We're having a little event, a little country place in northeastern North Carolina. And we have the D-Jet mock-up there and all that. I said, okay, I'll come help you out. I went there. And in my first day in the aircraft sales business, I met a fellow who really took a shine to that, and he had a Baron. And so we put together a deal to take his Baron on trade, sold him a Mooney Acclaim, and put an order position in for him for this other thing. And I was like, Earl, this is kind of fun. I like this. So I've been a professional sales marketing type all my life. So it's something I enjoy doing, is helping people.
Yeah.
But they didn't have any territory. So we went to the factory, and I spent 6 months developing business plans and working to present a very viable business plan to expand the Diamond brand up the Northeast corridor. We ended up taking over Virginia, Maryland, Delaware, D.C., Kentucky, West Virginia as the first step. And then more recently, I took over New York, New Jersey, Pennsylvania. So essentially, the area that I took responsibility for as a distribution company, what we call a Diamond DRDC, Diamond Regional Distribution Center, is today from New York and the New England area all the way down through Kentucky, and I live over in North Carolina. So it's a large piece of ground.
That's a lot of territory.
It is, but our organizations, all the distributors typically sell many different types of planes, and we focus on developing certain brands. So we ship airplanes worldwide. I have international customers in New Zealand, I have them in Australia, in the Far East, Middle East, Europe. So our business is pretty diverse.
Well, I'll tell you, I flew the 40 and I flew the 42, and I'm a stick person myself.
How'd you like them?
Oh, I love it.
Did it feel like a different airplane to you than some? Have a different feel?
I felt at ease. I felt right in the airplane. When you look at it, you don't have the same feeling. When you fly it, though, it's like a glove. It's like you're there, and the plane performs unbelievable. I enjoyed it. Actually, I was with the FAA at that point, and they sent me to the TAA program down in Naples. And those were the diesels. I haven't, and this is the early, I haven't flown the latest models, or I know you're going to talk about the latest thing, which is my next question. It's tell us a little bit about I'm really dying to know about the 6.
I'll tell you all about it. Let me ask you a question there.
Okay.
Do you know why those airplanes felt different than other airplanes?
I never thought about it.
So you know how control systems, the ailerons, are usually connected with cables and pulleys, and they kind of got a bunch of runs and a yoke maybe or a stick, doesn't matter. Those cable and pulley systems have a lot of play in them over time especially, and they have a bit of slop, if you want to say it that way. So, you know, on a gusty day, you might actually use this much movement to get what you want, right? The Diamond is designed differently, and this is not all airplanes do it this way. The stick is connected to these solid tubes that are, it's a tubular system.
Right.
So there's no way to get slop in it over time.
Exactly.
So it's a precision instrument.
Yes.
So when you think left, it goes left. So realistically, the movement of that stick is so minute, and what it does for folks is it gives them the feel that they're just completely connected to, you know, they lean a little bit.
Exactly.
And it's not touchy though, is it?
No.
It's just precise.
It's precise.
I love to give demonstrations where we go out and you just let go of the airplane if you've trimmed it right. And you can be in a turn and just let go of it. It'll just keep doing it.
It'll stay there.
It'll stay there. And that's because of that unique control system.
Great. No, I didn't know that.
Yeah.
But it makes perfect sense.
When people
sense.
Say they like the feel of it, I always ask, do you know why that is?
Because I'm a mechanic. Yeah. I'm also an aviation mechanic, but besides being a flight instructor, an ex-airline pilot, and all that good stuff. And well, tell us a little bit more about the 6.
The version 6 DA-42, be happy to. We just flew it down yesterday, put it on the stand. And this is a unique aircraft because this is the first one that was brought into the United States. It was a sale that our group did to a good man in the D.C. area, a customer of mine for a number of years. And we orchestrated what we call the European delivery experience, since it was the first that was going to come over to the United States. I said, wouldn't you like to go over and pick it up? And we'll go and take the wives and we'll spend a week over there and you can fly around Europe. And he said, you know what, that'd be great. Let's do that. So we went over to Austria in the summer last spring last year and did exactly that. Had a wonderful tour visit of the factory for several days. Flew around Europe, went over to Salzburg, went to the Red Bull plant. So we created a great experience. But the airplane itself is a culmination of many years of work. That aircraft, the DA-42 version 6, is the culmination of the original one introduced in 2003.
Yep.
By the way, did you know that Diamond had the diesel engine on the DA-40 single in 2002?
No.
That's 12 years that they've been leading the world with selling a single version because that's all they sell outside the United States, is the DA40 with the diesel
with
engine.
Diesel engine.
But then they came out a little bit later with the 42 with two diesels on it.
Right.
So they promised that it was going to be close to a 200 knot airplane when they announced it. Well, it wasn't originally. They had to derate the engines, the first engines. There was a little bit of drag on it that they had not cleaned up. And so over the course of time, there's been iterations of that airplane. And today, the version 6 represents the culmination of years of perfection. That thing is now finished. It's got all the options.
It looks pretty.
It's very pretty. But they did many cleanups on the aerodynamics. First off, they boosted the engines up to 168 horsepower. And they're diesel engines, of course. They're high torque, very smooth. You've started one of those.
Yep.
You know, it's just like a car.
Yes.
Turn it on, turn it off, turn it on.
Yep.
Starts great. Burns jet fuel. We say diesel, and some people are like, where are you going to get diesel fuel at an airport? We have to remind everybody that it's the jet fuel that we burn in a diesel airplane. So it's available virtually everywhere in the world. Everywhere a jet flies, you'll find it. And that's one of the big advantages of that plane is you don't have to worry about where you're going to get fuel outside the United States. Jet fuel's pretty prevalent everywhere.
Of course.
But culmination of all those things, the aerodynamic changes were very significant. They bumped up another 15 knots over the previous version, which had been bumped up another 10 knots.
Right.
So we came down yesterday in that airplane at 16,000 feet, 192 knots, and we were burning 16 point something in fuel. And don't forget, jet fuel cost about a dollar less than aviation gasoline.
Right.
So think about it. If you wanted to do 190 some knots in a twin, you've flown a few airplanes that'll
do
that. How much fuel would you probably be burning?
You're looking anywhere between 25 and 34 gallons an hour.
That's right. So that would be considered progress, wouldn't you think?
Of course.
That's quite progress. Other changes they did to it is they perfected the TKS system. Got it even flusher to the wings. They added oxygen. Air conditioning is now a standard option on the airplane. The interiors went up a whole other notch. They added fairings everywhere you can add fairings. They got rid of all the raised surfaces. They changed even the baggage doors so they're tighter. They put in seals along all the gaps. And that's how you pick up airspeed, isn't it?
That's right.
Diamond is, they are experts at certain things. Composite materials, they are world-leading expert. In fact, people come to them to have them contract to build high-tech composite pieces for other things, for military applications and secret things that a lot of people don't know about. Then they're expert at this diesel area. You know, the Austro engine is the ultimate culmination of years of development work to build their own engine. So if you look at that airplane, it is carbon fiber, which cost about 10 times what composite cost.
Right.
10 times for just the fiber. It is diesel, FADEC controlled.
Yep. I love that.
Why do you love that?
Just engine fail. Well, the one that I never flown the 6. I'm going back to the earlier mode. It's just fun. I mean, it's just...
Well, the FADEC control opens up efficiency opportunities we can't get with carbureted or fuel injected. I mean, these computer-controlled management of an engine is how all cars work these days. Well, the essence of that Austro engine is a Mercedes-Benz engine. And we went over to the plant, and I've been to all the plants, and we go in there, and they take all the bits and pieces that are plastic off of it, throw them in a bin. They start over with all the high-pressure pumps and the aviation stuff, and they leave the block intact, though. So when you get that engine on your airplane, it's literally a Mercedes-Benz built core, if you will. And that's actually comforting to a lot of people because we all know the quality of a Mercedes-Benz product.
Exactly.
And so that's at its core, but the Austro engine has obviously a lot of other elements to it. But FADEC controlled is key. So that is the highest tech, highest performance, most efficient twin engine aircraft ever made.
Sure.
Amazing.
And the computer doesn't forget.
Doesn't forget. You remember how it does the run-up for you?
Yes.
Where you just press the buttons and then it does the run-ups for you, comes back and reports everything's fine?
And once it does that, you can go.
That's right.
Everything is cool. There's another thing I think you mentioned. Where are the airplanes built?
Okay, so Diamond is an unusual company in the fact that they have far-flung operations, but they're not a major marketing company, so a lot of people don't know much about them. They're breadth and depth is amazing, though. Austria is the headquarters. They have operations there for the engine, for all the production of the different aircraft. They also have what's called a multi-purpose platform division there, which they take that DA-42 and they put all kinds of sensors on it. The things that are for everything from infrared scanning to surveillance, all types of applications have been done at this point. They've been very productive with that sales group worldwide for government and paramilitary and all kinds of things. So that's the DA-42 MPP, multi-purpose platforms built there. There's the plant in London, Ontario, Canada, which was started up in the 90s and brought the first DA-20s over, and that's where they built DA-40s for the U.S. market. And that is the plant that serves North America and builds all the gasoline products. That plant is active. Everything's there. They did start the D-Jet program there, but scaled that back last year. But that plant is fully intact. It's a very large plant. They used to build airplanes, fighter planes for World War II in that plant. It's very large. So that's where we get all of our product from. Parts, service, everything comes from there. Then there's a plant in China. You have one complete in China that builds just for the Chinese market. Use diesel engines on the 40. And then there's a new plant being built over in Russia right now for the Russian market. So that's a lot of stuff going on for a plane that most people don't even, never even heard of.
Okay. Well, John, it's been a pleasure having you here, but unfortunately we have come to the point where we're going to have to say goodbye, and I really appreciate you being here. I'll tell you, I love the airplane. I've flown the airplane. I'm going to make sure that I take a ride on that 6, and I'm not going to say I'm going to verify. I'm just going to experience it because it'll be there. And please, thank you for joining us. My name is Diego Alfonso with the Florida Aviation Network, and we'll see you soon.
We hope you've enjoyed today's Managing Safety, brought to you by the Florida Aviation Network, an effort of the National Aviation Safety Foundation and a coalition of local, regional, and national aviation organizations and agencies. Please visit our studio website to hear past programs.